Well, today we're going to be starting in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. I'm reading from the New King James, so that's 2 Kings chapter 4, starting at verse 8. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunem, where there was a notable woman, and she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be, whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." The Shunammite woman was putting God first in her life. In the Old Testament, a prophet was the common people's link to God. She went out of her way to prepare a meal just for Elisha and then built an addition on her house just so that Elisha would have a place to stay during his travels. When Elisha finds a room built just for him for his travels, he wants to bless the Shunammite woman for her generosity. Verse 14. So he said, this is Elisha speaking, "What then is to be done for her?" And Gehazi answered, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." So he said to her, "Call her." When he had called her, she stood in the doorway. Then he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And she said, "No, my lord, man of God. Do not lie to your maidservant." But the woman conceived and bore a son when the appointed time had come of which Elisha had told her. The Shunammite woman had probably given up hope on having a child, a son no less. The last thing she wanted was to have false hope. She did not believe that what Elisha had promised would come to pass. And yet, she still gave birth to a son. Verse 18. And the child grew. Now it happened one day that he went out to his father, to the reapers, and he said to his father, "My head, my head." So he said to a servant, "Carry him to his mother." When he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him, and went out. The first thing she did was put her son into the room of God, God's resting place. The Shunammite woman was putting her trust in God. Now, if we continue, verse 22. Then she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys, that I may run to the man of God and come back." So he said, "Why are you going to him today? It is neither new moon nor the Sabbath." And she said, "It is well. It is well." Despite what is going on, she has lost her only son, an impossible gift from God. She still says, "It is well." She rides off as fast as possible to Mount Carmel to get to Elisha. When Elisha sees her in the distance, he sends his servant to meet her partway. Verse 26. "Please now run to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now when she came to the man of God at the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. So she said, Did I ask for a son, my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, get yourself ready and take my staff in your hand and be on your way. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, but lay my staff on the face of the child. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. She is well until she lays herself before the man of God. The Shunammite woman had done all she could and now puts all her faith and trust in God for the life of her son. Now that she is before Elisha, she will not let go of her only anchor in this great time of sorrow. Verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child, lying dead on his bed. He went in there, for shut the door behind the two of them, and prayed to the Lord. And he went upon and lay on the child, put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child. And the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house, and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. The Shunammite woman would have been overwhelmed with joy. In her greatest time of need, God had taken care of her. This was proof that all things are possible with God. Now we're going to go to another familiar scripture for a lot of you. John chapter 11. John chapter 11, starting at verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sister sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he who you love is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. Jesus knew about Lazarus' sickness, and he still waits 2 days before leaving to help Mary and Martha. Verse 17. When Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Mary's Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give to you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." And Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, my Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Once Martha heard about Jesus coming, she ran out to greet him in her mourning. Like the Shunammite woman, Martha was going to God in her time of crisis. Martha wholeheartedly trusted Jesus, that even though this was a very dark time, she would be okay now that Jesus was here. Martha then went to get Mary, and they both ran to the feet of Jesus. Verse 32. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. Jesus knew everything was going to be okay shortly, but he was troubled because Mary and Martha were in pain. Verse 38. Then Jesus, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days." And Jesus said to her, "Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have been here, you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Now when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Loose him and let him go." This miracle not only brought joy to family and friends, but it was proof that Jesus was who he said he was. We can go back to 2 Kings. You may start to see a little bit of a pattern here. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. Then a man came from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley bread, and newly ripened grain in his knapsack. And he said, "Give it to the people that they may eat." But his servants said, "What, shall I set this before 100 men?" And he said again, "Give it to the people that they may eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat and have some left over." So he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. By faith, Elisha's servant distributed the food, and not only fed the 100 men, but there were leftovers. May want to keep your finger in 2 Kings, but turn to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, starting at verse 15. When it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the village and buy themselves food." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." Pardon? I'm sure that really caught the disciples off guard. It was like, you want us to feed these guys? Jesus, we've got 5 loaves and 2 fish. It's not going to go very far. If we skip down to verse 17, and he said to him, verse 18. He said, "Bring them here to me." Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and broke up, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now when those who had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This might have been a bigger group of people, but it was still a similar miracle to what Elisha had done. The disciples went by faith and managed to not only feed the 5,000, but have tons of leftovers. He is the God of abundance. Go back to 2 Kings chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because of him, by him the Lord had given him victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And Syrians had gone out on raids and brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." That is the only time the servant girl is mentioned. Her faith in Elisha, and by that line of thought in God, gave hope to Naaman. We go to verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was furious, and he went away and said, Indeed, I said to myself, he would surely come out to me and stand and call the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abana and Pharpa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not have washed in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Naaman was furious with Elisha that Elisha would not even come to the door. It's possible that Elisha did not come because being in contact with a leper would have made Elisha unclean and therefore possibly cut him off of his ministry. Whatever the reason, Naaman was a general, and he not only demanded respect, but he wanted Elisha to heal him the way he thought it should be done. Verse 13. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times to the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored, like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God. He and all his asides came and stood before him and said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth, except in Israel. This miracle proved to Naaman that this was the true God. If Elisha had waved his hand on Naaman, he might have thought that Elisha had the power to heal. Instead, Naaman was washed himself clean 7 times, and this could only be the work of God, no one else. We can go to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. Starting at verse 11. Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then, as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And he lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleaned. Jesus again did a similar miracle to Elisha. Instead of one, it was 10. We continue on, verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 clean? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Now, isn't that interesting? The only one to return was a Samaritan, not a Jew. The Samaritan knew that Jesus had healed him and had come back to thank Jesus, to give him the glory. The others were just as quick to return to their old lives without giving glory to God. 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6, starting at verse 4. So he went, this is Elisha speaking about, with them. And when they went to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water. And he cried out and said, "Alas, master, for it was borrowed." So the man of God said, "Where did it fall?" And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there and made the iron float. Therefore, he said, "Pick it up for yourself." So he reached out his hand and took it. This miracle does not seem like a big deal, but it is. It shows the character of God, that even though it is just a tool, it was important to the man that he broke his borrowed axe. That made it important to God. We go to John chapter 2. I seem to be flipping back and forth quite a bit today. John chapter 2, verse 1. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come." And his mother said to the servants, "Whatever he says, you do it." Hospitality in the East was a sacred duty. A wedding feast often lasted for a week. It would be a huge embarrassment to the bride and groom to run out of wine at such an event. Jesus then tells the servants to fill 6 jugs with water and to fill a cup to give to the master of the feast. Verse 9. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, "Every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now." This beginning of the signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. This is another miracle that does not seem important, and yet God used this to not only save the bride and groom embarrassment, but to be a sign to the disciples that they would believe. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 20. Then Elisha died, and they buried him. And the raiding bands from Moab invaded the land in the spring of the year. So it was, as they were burying a man, that suddenly they spied a band of raiders. And they put the man in the tomb of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood on his feet. Even in death, God still used Elisha's body to revive the other man. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdala and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and because they came like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen." And he said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go, tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Jesus is risen, and it was a picture foretold through the life of Elisha. It would seem that both Jesus and Elisha were presenting the same message of God to prove God's love and return his faith. Let me go to one more scripture. I'm going to be reading from the NIV. And it's Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 1. Jesus then began to speak to them in parables. A man planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a pit for the winepress, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from them some of the fruit of the vineyard. But they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He sent still another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son whom he loved. He sent him last of all, saying, "They will respect my son." But the tenants said to one another, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours." So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? He will come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others. Have you read this passage of Scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. God sent prophet after prophet to visit Israel, and they were met with hostility and rejection of his teachings and scriptures. There is no such thing as a coincidence in God's word. Each of the miracles Elisha's was chosen specifically that would be expanded on by Jesus. Jesus was sent to give the final message, the same message that the other prophets had given before him. One last chance to the Jews to repent. And although some did repent, the message was then released into the whole world.